Hello and welcome to PMI's Uncommon Sense podcast, tools to improve your work forever. I'm Susanna Clark, Managing Partner with PMI, the performance improvement consulting and training firm. Our Uncommon Sense podcast is a 15-minute conversation with our expert consultants. They talk a lot of common sense, although much of it is not common practice. And that's what this podcast is all about. We want you to be inspired to improve your business through learning more about the tools which can help you succeed and grow. Warren Knight's joining me today to continue our series on leadership and the system of profound knowledge and what we can learn from that. We've had two previous episodes, one on systems thinking, one on variation. If you haven't yet listened to those, please do have a listen to those after this episode. So today, Warren, we're going to talk about the theory of knowledge. An unusual title. What does that mean to the layman?
Well, actually, the concept of having theories is really important to the discussion we're going to have, actually. But it's about what's the method by which we accumulate knowledge and what type of knowledge are we accumulating? So, for instance, are we accumulating belief-based knowledge or are we acquiring sort of empirical-based knowledge? So things that we know through observation and testing. So there's different types of knowledge, if you like, depending upon how we've acquired it.
And therefore, what does this mean to leaders? And what's Absolutely. Their responsibility in the acquisition of that knowledge?
Yeah, indeed. So let's start there. You know, I think for me, effective leaders, good leaders, they recognise that the ability of the organisation to improve fundamentally is based upon or predicated upon the ability of the organisation to learn. And so a good leader will firstly recognise that in truth, learning is organic. Most of the valuable learning that happens in the organisation, therefore improvement, is not done in the classroom. It's done on a daily basis, from top to bottom and from left to right in the organisation. So think about from developing a strategy, it requires learning, right the way through to an operator managing a difficult customer call. You know, there's an opportunity for learning there. And it's recognising that there are abundant opportunities. And so how do we recognise that and then capture that as a leader? The second thing that good leaders do or recognise is that they have a role as a teacher and coach to help people to learn effectively, to be conscious of their thinking theories and their predictions about their work, and to really encourage colleagues and staff members to test, to experiment, to validate that is indeed good theory and therefore useful knowledge that can be applied in the future for good effect. I think the last thing, and it goes back to types of knowledge, is my theory, is my through observation, that actually often organisations operate on untested beliefs rather than knowledge that has been acquired through application, experience and testing.
So does that, we've always done it like this, does that fall into that untested beliefs category?
I suppose we've always done it like that. It could be. It depends upon whether the last time it was applied, you got the right effects. You got what you thought you were going to get. Because I guess you've done it in the past, and at some point, it got you the right result. And so therefore, you keep applying it. If I think about it, when we reapply that, that's what we've learned, are we still checking that we're getting useful results?
Yes.
Because obviously circumstances change and therefore what might have worked for us once upon a time may not work for us now. So that would be an example of either good learning or not so good learning.
And you talk about this in a language of learning and that more organic learning throughout the work that you do and the observing it and learning from it in a way that I don't often hear leaders describe or even think about learning, perhaps far more traditional normally in the thinking about learning. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. This idea of a learning organisation is not a new concept. The idea that the organisation is equipped, it has skills, it has approaches to learning and can use those to adapt, to change, to continuously improve. It's another way of thinking about it, really. So I often ask leaders and say, so how does your organisation learn? And typically, in response, they'll point me towards L&D, point me towards the e-learning platforms that they have in the organisation and things like that. Which in truth, I often wonder whether the consumption of information is actually knowledge. And I don't think it is. I think information isn't necessarily knowledge. There's something you need to do.
So what is it you need to do, Warren?
Right, well, if you think about it, actually knowledge is based upon a theory, an explanation of why we get something, the results that we get. And with every theory comes a prediction of what will future results look like if this is a useful theory. So learning starts with having a theory. And of course, that theory may be based upon information that we've collated and reviewed. Yeah, absolutely. But it's about having that theory of cause and effect and that prediction. The second part of it, and this is where we translate that information into knowledge, is then reviewing our experiences and our observations, including the abundant data that we have in our organisations, to answer the question, was that a useful theory? Did what we observe match our prediction? Did we experience something different than our prediction? In which case, that should drive us to revise and refine our theory, back to the question you asked earlier on. So the development of knowledge is an active thing, is an active process, if you like, not a passive one.
But like you say, we're going to need some equipment, tools, method to be able to gather useful data from that will help us in that learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will need, and as this is connected with variation, of course, we'll need data. And we'll need the right tools and ability to use those tools to interpret that data and to form useful theories. And hence, if we look at Lean Six Sigma, for example, actually that's a methodology and a tool set essentially for learning. But it's all predicated on the basis of forming and testing a theory actively, because that's where the knowledge comes from.
And then sharing those results amongst the leadership and saying, we had this theory, we had a go, it's good, it's bad, the outcomes, and that being a learning process.
Yes, and where the leader comes in is recognising that process of forming and testing theories using predictions can get distorted in many ways. It can get distorted because often we're not actually clear or conscious of the theories and the predictions we're actually operating on. So in a sense, we therefore sort of miss the opportunity to learn and acquire new knowledge because we're not aware of what's driving our actions. Another way that it can get distorted is that, and this is often the case, we don't put the energy into robustly reviewing our theories and our predictions against our experiences, and to enable us to really validate those theories or refine them. We've had many discussions in many webinars about lessons learned on a project. There's just one small example of not doing a robust evaluation. The third one, and this one very much connects with psychology, is discounting or dismissing evidence that suggests you need to either update your theory or indeed discard your theory. That being, in a sense, brave enough to throw away an unuseful theory. And so what we do is we cling on to them and we dismiss the evidence. We talk it away as though it's not valid in this situation, or we just dismiss it and ignore it.
Yes, and although I know you're talking about something that is different because you're talking about having data that says that theory needs to be dismissed. But I've certainly come across situations where
even without data, clients have come up with an idea that they think is the answer to everything, and one person is championing it, and that champion has got a very loud voice, and so everyone's going along with it.
Absolutely. And back to the third role of the leader is to challenge the organization when actually they are operating on beliefs or even superstitions rather than tested theory. You know, Dr. Deming's always just saying, God, I trust everybody else, bring data. You know, it's because, as you said, if you've got somebody with enough credibility and enough authority in the organization, if they say a theory of confidence, people believe it to be a fact. When it's not, it's still a theory. It has to be tested.
Excellent. I think we're going to have to do an episode on the science of language, Warren, in the future. Because when I listen to you talk, there are so many wonderful words that actually are very scientific in their nature. Theories, predictions, hypotheses, and so on. And actually, you use them in an everyday way. And I think that language of science is very helpful because it's very specific. And when you understand it, you know exactly what it means. And I think that as a language, having that as part of your toolkit for any leader is a useful set of tools.
Absolutely. And I think this is what good leaders do. They put it into plain terms. And pretty much everything we do, when we create a plan for our day, that's based upon theory and prediction.
Thank you, Warren. That was excellent, really good food for thought. And so often people talk about on-the-job learning. That's the heart of it, isn't it? It's doing that knowingly.
Doing that knowingly so that you can become fully competent at what you do. And when you become fully competent at what you do, that's when you start to challenge what you do. That's where the improvement comes from.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you today.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find more episodes of our Uncommon Sense Tools to Improve Your Work Forever in our Knowledge Hub on our website, or, of course, your favourite podcast platform. And do subscribe so you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode, where you'll find links to more content on this topic, which includes webinar recordings, toolbox guides, blogs, and infographics, and our training page. You can always drop us a line on team@pmi.co.uk and arrange a time to have a call to talk about how these tools can help you in your organisation. We'd really love to hear from you.